names, baby names, very important, you know? And you can just picture some of your kids. You name me what? You know? I mean, the top names, baby names in 2015, girl was Sophia. The boy's name in 2015, the top one was Jackson. I went through the top 100. Scott wasn't even in there. I was a little disappointed. And so when you're thinking about baby names, there's some things you need to keep in mind. I don't know if you guys have researched this stuff, but, you know, you got to watch out. If your last name is Wood, you don't want to name your daughter Holly. You know what I'm saying? It just gets old after a while. Or God, listen, if you're going to have a boy and your last name is Wiser, don't name him Bud. No. And then you got to watch out for the initials. My mom was very clever. My name is, I don't normally say this very often, but my name is Scott Arthur Moore. And so my initials spell out Sam, right? Well, my mom's name was Samuel Scott. So my mom just named me her maiden name as my first name, Scott, and then gave me the initials so it worked out so it'd be her dad's name. Sam Scott, that's what everybody called him. That's pretty clever, wasn't it? But you got to be careful, because if you name your child Zachary Ian, that's with an I, Ian Thomas, that could be a problem when he gets older, if you get the initials on that one. So anyway, names are important. We all know kids that grew up with funny initials. We call them names. We gave them a hard time. But names are important. Today, I just want to take a few moments to talk about this extraordinary baby and his extraordinary names. Now, the kids talked about him. We have him here today with us in the manger. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, there's a lot of names. Jesus has a lot of names. But Isaiah predicted 800 years before Jesus was born, and he gave us these names right here. So would y'all read this with me together? For us, to us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, man, those are some pretty significant names. Pretty significant names. Because, again, Isaiah is writing 800 years before Jesus was even born. And in the middle of their country, you think we got problems today. They had some real problems in Israel. The Assyrians were conquering the people. They were conquering the tribes one by one and taking them captive. And here they were. They were all in fear. They were in fear because every state would crumble. Every province, every clan would crumble. The Assyrians would take them captive. And so God wanted to give them some hope. So God promises the Jewish people through Isaiah, he promises a child. And this child is going to grow up and be the King of Kings. And with the birth of Jesus Christ began that prophecy. And with the coming of Christ the second time, the prophecy will be complete. But I just want to take a moment. Today we're just going to look at one name. Christmas Eve, if you come back, 7 o'clock Christmas Eve, we'll be here. We're going to do the other two or three. I just want to look at this first name because it's really cool. The first one that we see in there is Wonderful Counselor. Now, the word wonderful in this passage literally means incomprehensible. And Jesus, you know, when you think about this incomprehensibleness of Jesus, you can start with his birth. I mean, we have the Virgin Mary. We have the Immaculate Conception, however you want to describe that. But it's the Holy Spirit and Mary's womb, incomprehensible, it coming together and producing this child, this virgin birth. And then the stories, the angels and the shepherds, and the angels appear to the shepherds, and they come in and worship Jesus that night when he's born. And everybody know that it's the wise men didn't show up till 2 years later. So, you know, we include that at Christmas time a lot of times. But just I told a couple people that before, and they're like, "What, really?" Now, it was like 2 years later that the wise men showed up. But it's incomprehensible to think about the virgin birth and the angels and the Holy Spirit and Mary and Joseph and all these things. The wise men, when they show up. It's just amazing. It's wonderful. And then when you look at Jesus' life, you think about how he healed people. He made the lame walk and the blind to see. And you look at these miracles and you think, wow, they're unimaginable. They're wonderful. It's amazing. And so last week, if you've been coming to our church, we've been studying John chapter 11. We've been studying a book of John, and where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead 4 days after he had died. And he had done that several other times with other people. And just think, the power to see someone who has died and in the tomb for 4 days and then to rise out and come up. I mean, that is incomprehensible. But I like the word wonderful because it's very positive as well. And so here he is teaching. He's teaching his perfect life. And then finally we get to Jesus' resurrection from the dead. I mean, nobody could believe it. I can't even think of words to describe it. Incomprehensible, unconceivable, unimaginable, incredible. What he say here is it's wonderful. That's all tied up in the name wonderful. Now, his real name is Counselor. It's the wonderful describes the counselor that Jesus Christ is. Isaiah 28:29 says that word counselor. The word counselor is one who analyzes a situation, gives advice to the one, listen to this, who has responsibility for making the decision. That's what I like about God. Any good counselor will give you information, then you have to be wise enough to take the information and make the decision. Isaiah 28 says, all this comes from the Lord, almighty, wonderful in counsel, and magnificent in wisdom. And so Jesus is the wonderful counselor. And so what, you know, this wonderful, this incomprehensible Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us he has all knowledge and all wisdom. And the only place that is really found that true wisdom, true knowledge is in Jesus Christ. And as you study the Bible, you see why, because he created all things. The Bible says that Jesus Christ created all things. And so if he's the owner, manufacturer of everything that's ever lived or will live, then he knows all about them. He knows each person. That's what's interesting about the Bible. The Bible says that God knows the heart. Jesus knew the heart of men. He knows your heart. He knows human nature. He knows our fears. He knows our worries. He knows our tendencies to do right or do wrong. He knows all these things. And more importantly, he knows what you're going through right now. Yes, he does. He knows it all. And what I like to say is that Jesus will give you the wisest counsel on everything. And people are looking for it, right? I mean, if you want to know, run into people all the time. I was the same way. I'm looking for God's purpose in my life. I want his will for my life. I want to know what to do with the wisest thing for my family or for my finances or for my future. Or maybe even I need to know, you really need to know where you're going to spend eternity. That's very important. He has the wisest counsel on all these things. But listen to this, at the end of the day, you still have to make the decision. You still have to make the decision. How many of you would like to do over in a bunch of stuff? Yeah, hello. I need a do over. You know what I mean? Some of my decisions I've been dumb and dumber, you know, on. And it's amazing, the Bible, to get wisdom, to get counsel, to get the wisdom from God, it's a theme that runs all through the scriptures. One of the Bible verses that I memorized early in my life, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord always. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? He will guide and direct your paths. And I got to tell you that I wish I could have use those words several times, because what happens to us mostly is that a lot of us call Jesus wonderful counselor, or we want to believe that, but if you don't embrace his wisdom, you cannot call Jesus the wonderful counselor if you don't embrace his wisdom. See, you must make Jesus' wise counsel your way of life. See, we talk about it, and a lot of people believe in it intellectually, but until you really actually put it in practice in your life, you don't really believe it. You don't really believe it. So I just want to give you a couple quick things. Say, before we get out of here today, a couple quick things on how to make Jesus' wise counsel your way of life. That's all. I got a couple things for you, and then we'll be on our way. The first thing is you must make the decision to allow Jesus to lead all areas of your life. Yep. So how do you do that? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but I can tell you this right now. The question that you need to ask in any decision that you're going to make, now I'm not talking about should I go out and eat, you know, what kind of ice cream I'm supposed to eat. Matter of fact, I can't believe that they must have wrote that line in there specifically. They were taunting me. Those kids were taunting me with ice cream. They know I have an ice cream problem. Who wrote that in that line? Come on, Pastor, I'll buy you some ice cream. Somebody wrote that in there on purpose. But anyway, I don't want to digress. But no matter, very important decisions. You should always ask this, God, what is the wisest decision for me to make here? I'm trying to make that in my life. We're trying to put that in our practice in leadership of this church. Everyone should ask this question when you come to an issue or where are you at in life. What is the wisest decision, God, that you want me to make here? That one question can change your life if you follow it. Now listen, when you start asking that question and you make Jesus Christ the leader over your life, over all the areas of your life, you got to remember this. You are no longer in charge. You don't call the shots anymore. You're no longer the CEO or the CFO of your life. Now, that's pretty hard. That's hard for a lot of people to take. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus did it. That's the way he lived. He said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me, shows me. Matter of fact, right before he went to the cross, he said, your will, not my will, be done. Everything he did, that's how he lived. Maybe you need to write out a letter of resignation today as the CEO of your life. That's a good idea, isn't it? You ever done that? You might have to do it a couple times. So, you know, instead of writing it all out, just make the blank copy and have several later. As you go through life, you can just keep filling it out again. But, dear God, I resign as chief executive officer of my life. I've had to do that a few times, especially when I started getting, you know, I started getting a little off. So we need to embrace Christ as the leader of all your life, of your whole life. The second one is how to make Jesus wise counsel of the way of your life. It's embrace all the inspired teaching of the Holy Bible and develop a plan to read it daily. I got to tell you guys, I've said this before, I've said it again. I went through life and I never knew what kind of man I should be. I didn't know what kind of father I should be or a husband I should have been. I didn't know what kind of, you know, a person that the right kind of person who loves people, who accepts people, who honors God, who does things in their life that are good. I didn't know those things because I never read the Bible. I didn't even know what it said. I knew a couple cute little stories, or I heard a few things that, you know, all of the things that really stand out, like, you know, some revelation prophecy or some of those things that, you know, that were kind of weird, that's, you know, back in the Old Testament, it's a little interesting. And I didn't understand it as a whole. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Righteousness means that good stuff. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so that's all they're saying. Paul's writing that letter to Timothy and says, look, that's what the Bible will do for you. It'll give you a hope. It'll give you a future. You can create a plan. It's a source of guidance. If you want to get through life successful? Then use the Bible to figure out life. Everything that's in there. And then use the God's word to test to see if something is true. You know, see if something is correct, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's bad. Everything that you want to know, I just said. You want to know about your finances? You want to know about parenting? You want to know about marriage? You want to know about purpose or success or leadership or business? Every answer that you search out is in there. Now listen. That's why you got to read it on a regular basis. If you don't understand some of those things, there's principles that run from the Old Testament all the way through the New. So you just can't like grab one little verse out there and try to figure something out. If you understand, you start to read it daily, you'll start to put together these principles, these patterns, these themes that run all through the whole Bible. And by putting those together, and it's not really not that hard, you can make wise decisions and you can use the Bible as a way to put wisdom in your life for your faith and practice of the way you live. Lastly, I would tell you this. This is important too. How to make Jesus' wise counsel your way of life. You must learn to seek out godly counsel from followers of Jesus Christ. I got to tell you. Here's a couple scriptures right here for you. Proverbs 12:15, man, the way of a fool is right in his own what? But a wise man listens to advice. Isn't that interesting, that first one? Listen, here's what I'm going to tell something to you. A lot of people come to me and they say, well, God told me this, and God told me that. And a lot of people are expecting audible words or something like that from God to tell them what to do. Now listen, I'm going to say God never does that, but that's not the norm. Yeah, God can tell you to do something audibly. Or you can hear that still small voice, and yes, he can. But here's what I'm going to tell you right now. The norm is, because we look at this scripture, we look at the Bible, is that God wants to speak to you through his word and through other believers that come around you. People come to me all the time, God told me this. I said, well, if he's God and he can tell you this, why couldn't he tell me? So I could tell you that you are right. That's what we're trying to say here is that, you know, yeah, can God show up in your car one day? Yeah, sure, he can say things, but normally that's not the case. The Bible clearly teaches, if you look at this, I could have pulled up 20 scriptures on seeking out wise counsel out of the Bible, out of people, out of God's followers. I just gave you two. The Bible clearly teaches a theme all the way through from the Old Testament to the New Testament to seek out godly counsel from mature Christians. What's it say in Proverbs? Here's what happens. Here's the problem. Sometimes we don't like, right? If I don't like what you got to say, or if I don't want to go seek, what do? Remember as kids, we used to, nah, nah, nah. That's the beginning of the way of the fool is right. That's nah, 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 nah. You know, that's what the fool does. Trust me, I've done a lot of foolish things. I'm telling you from experience. It says there, but a wise man listens to advice. They get advice. They get biblical, prayerful advice. A counselor doesn't tell you what to do. What a counselor does is he reads the Bible with you. You pray together. You seek God's will for your situation. And then you choose. He just helps you do those things. And when that person counsels you and gives you that advice, it should line up. Most things happen too fast. Trust me. The advice that people seek from me so many times, they want it now. And anytime I've given it too quickly, I've usually made the wrong choice. It takes time to look over the scriptures. It takes time to... Why are we in a hurry? People are making life-changing decisions, and that could have implications from the rest of their life, and they don't seek advice. I've had people tell me that God had told them some pretty interesting things before and to come up and tell me things like this. And I said, you know what? I can't find that in the Bible. Well, God told me so. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's how cults get started. That's how people drink Kool-Aid. I'm telling you right now. Very important decisions. People make very important decisions without seeking the counsel, without seeking God's word, without bringing others along, without praying, well, searching the scriptures on their kids, on their marriage, on jobs, finances. And you'll live, so many people that I talk to live with regret. Listen, a follower of Jesus will seek the counsel of others, guided by the Holy Spirit, the Bible, and the prayer to seek God's wisdom and will for the wisest outcome. Now, I say those things because, listen, it's a process. You learn to do this over and over. Hopefully, I'm not the same guy making the same mistakes. I think I'm a little further down the road. Am I still going to mess up? Sure. But I've surrounded myself. I have elders. I have my wife who's, you know, she's my biggest counsel. Matter of fact, she gave me counsel for today. So I'm taking it. I have a prayer partner. I've got these people that if I'm going to make a decision, I'm going to come around. I'm going to want them to come around me and pray for me. And then, you know, Give me their thoughts. Take me to God's word. Show me something. If these people understand and know the word, they'll do this for me. But a follower of Jesus Christ will seek the counsel of others. And it'll be guided by the Spirit and the Bible and prayer. We can't make these decisions, these big decisions, too fast. Because they have so big of consequences. Now, I just want to give out one warning. I don't know about you guys, but here's the warning. Here's a warning. This is a warning. I should have had a warning thing out here. Normally, God's wisdom through godly counsel will usually go against what you want to do. Do you know why? You know why? Because usually what I want to do is my natural heart, the natural man, that usually is going away from what God wants. Normally, I would say, I want to do this or do that. And usually, God usually probably has normally a little different direction he wants to go with me. Because he wants to train me something. He wants to teach me something. So, and then here's the other problem. Not only will it go against what you want to hear, you want to be aware, be on guard against people who are going to tell you what you want to hear. You know, you got those kind of friends? Now, you can't have a friend that's going to beat you down every time. You know what I mean? You know, there's people, that, you got to make sure who your godly counsel is. You got to have somebody that mixes the encouragement with the challenge, with that's going to challenge you. You can't have a person all the time that's all they do is beat you down. That's all they do is they're negative and all those kind of things. You need the person that's not going to tell you what you want to hear. I want somebody that's going to tell me, Scott, you're messing up. You're going in the wrong way. If they're my friend, they will help me out. Now, seek out the answer to the question. Remember, what is the wisest decision for me to make here? You will definitely, definitely benefit from that answer all the time, all the time. Now, I was going to keep this short. We're talking about extraordinary names, extraordinary baby, the wonderful counselor. Let me recap it real quick. How to make Jesus wise counsel of your way of life. You must make the decision and allow Jesus to lead all areas of your life. Can't have little separate rooms. Oh, here it is. Jesus is going to lead my life when I come here on Sunday, but not Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, you got to embrace the inspired teaching of the Bible. Develop a plan to read it daily. Please, people tell me all the time, Scott, I'm asking, do you read the Bible? Just get a chapter. There's all kinds of, get an app on your phone. You got the Bible app? Who's got the Bible app? Look at all these hands. Man, it sends you a verse to read every day. That's sweet. You'll imagine, as I read the Bible every day, I run into people and I'm like, oh man, I just read this for me. And it's like, wow, that's really appropriate for you today. Then you must seek out godly counsel from the followers of Jesus. Please, please do that. I'm a pastor. We got elders. They're mature people here. Find somebody if you're going to make a major decision. If you're going to make, because trust me, I've got some regret in my past that I wish I'd have took my time and brought people around me. I didn't do it. Seek out help. Seek out counsel. So where do you need wisdom in your life today? That's a good question, huh? I'm sure everybody can find something. Think about it for a minute. Where do you need wisdom in your life today? How many people need to resign as CEO of their life? No, don't raise your hand. You might be sitting next to the person who does. They might be CEO of your life too. But hey, don't raise your hand. Men, don't raise your hand. Whatever you do. All right. Man, I wish I hadn't wore this sweater today. Whew. All right, here we go. Here's the first place to start. The first place to start, if you're going to make Jesus' wise counsel a way of life, is you need to know Christ. You need to ask Jesus to take over your life. I'm telling you right now, folks, Jesus cares about you. Jesus listens to people. You know what's cool? Jesus came down to this earth as a little baby. Did you ever get, when you talk to children a lot of times, I know the older you get, this is harder to do, but when you talk to children, a lot of times you get down on kids' level so you can talk to them, they can see you, and you listen to them. You know, when you really want to communicate, you get on somebody's level. That's what Jesus did when he came to this earth. Jesus came down to our level. It's impossible for us to reach his level. There's no way. He you know, God. He was in heaven. So he came down to our level. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ is a friend to anyone who has problems. If they'll admit it, that's the hardest part, right? Hi, my name's Scott. I got some issues. I thought about bringing in some suitcases, but I didn't have too many to carry. You know what I mean? We all fall short. We all sin. We all have issues. We've got baggage. And if you recognize you have this stuff, this baggage, you can overcome it with Christ's help. Matter of fact, it's simple. He came for you and I. He came for all of us. You don't have to be good to be Jesus' friend. Can I get an amen on that? You don't have to be good to be Jesus Christ's friend. You know what you have to be? You know what he's looking for? He's looking for honest people to say, yeah, you know what? I am. I'm a rebel. I've made mistakes. I've got baggage. I've committed sins. He's looking for people to be honest. And here's the part. When you're honest with Jesus, he doesn't condemn you. He doesn't. No, he wants to rescue you. Because he has a future and a hope. Just like he was telling Isaiah to the people of Israel. He's saying the same thing for you today. You have a future and a hope. And if you receive Christ Jesus, your best days are ahead of you. I'm telling you right now. Romans 10:9 says this. Let's read this one together. You ready? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. That scripture makes it really simple. Believe Christ. Believe that he raised you from the dead. That he was raised from the dead. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is God. If you're here today, and there's two things. If you're here today and you have already done this, then you need to ask yourself, do I need to resign as the CEO of my life? Maybe you need to do that. If you're say you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you haven't done that, maybe you need to do that today. But maybe it's here today that you have never received Jesus Christ, that you have never believed in him, really, really believed in him. Believed in him that in a way that you're willing to learn who he is, learn about the Bible, learn to take this wisdom and apply it to your life. It's life-changing, folks. It changed my life. It'll change your life. It'll change your future if you follow it. Let's pray. God, I pray for those here today that need to resign as the CEO. I think those who are already following you closely, Jesus, and if they haven't, I pray that they would. And for those who have never really, really, or don't even know for sure, not as sure, God, that they've ever really confessed you as Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, just pray this. I need your help, Jesus. Please forgive me. Help me change direction in my life. I believe and I confess in you right now. Come into my life. Teach me your wisdom. And I will follow you. If you prayed that prayer, God knows that he heard it. Lord, if anyone here has made a confession to you today, God, I know you hear them. And I know you have the wisest thing for them to do. And you have a hope and a future for them. And that was the beginning of wisdom that you have for them. So I thank you for them right now. I praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do in their lives, in our lives together. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I see somebody's bulletin? I forgot to bring a bulletin up here. Thank you. All right. I just wanted to make a note of something real quickly. If you're a guest here today, we'd love to just take a minute, fill this out, tell us you were here. We're just going to send you a card or an email. We'll even text you if you just, that's all we got. We just want to thank you for coming. The other thing is, if you need anything, we got this stuff on the backside. Somebody asked me the other day, well, hey, Scott, you don't take up an offering. Where do we give? And I said, well, most people don't see that, but we have an offering box in the back, and you can put these in that box, and we will get back to you. The last thing I want to bring your attention to is this. Next Sunday, December 20th, we're entitled that Sunday, Wellspring Gives. Now, we are sponsoring a missionary, Josh and Naomi Swinson. We were sponsoring. They came back to the States. They moved to Texas, and Naomi got in horrific car accident. Thankfully, she is healing, and God spared her life, but they just came back to the States. They hadn't even gotten jobs yet or any of these things, and they're struggling financially. So we're going to take a special gift. Next Sunday, December 20th, we're going to take a special gift, a love offering for them. We're actually going to pass the basket, something we don't do very often here. But at this time, at the beginning of church, at the end of church next week, at this time, we're going to pass the baskets, and people are going to come around, and we're going to give them a love offering to help support them through Christmas time. And I'm going to ask you, it's Christmas, give generously. We ask you that this is what we call a love offering. If you give to the church regularly, then please do that. This is something above and beyond your regular gift to the church. And we just want to bless them and help them out. Now, that's December 20th. That'll be next Sunday. So, and then please do me a favor. On the memo line, if you write a check or you fill out it and put the money in the envelope, put Wellspring Gives. That way you don't have to worry about listening to their names or whatever it is. Just put Wellspring Gives on the envelope or on the check, and the people who are counting will know where that money goes. So that'll be awesome. And there's a memo line if you do it electronically, too. If you use the kiosk or you go to the website, you can do those things as well. And remember that that's there. Finally, I just want to tell you again, invite you back to our Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m. It's really kind of a nice, we got a great service plan on Christmas Eve. And so communion, candlelight, singing, and all that stuff that goes with Christmas Eve, we'd love to have you back. Hey, let's stand for closing prayer. And I want to... Did I forget anything? Okay, great. And we're getting you out at 11:04 today. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you so much, God. You certainly are a wonderful counselor, Jesus. And we're just so thankful for these children that came today, for the people who helped organize that. And Lord, it was such a blessing to see these young boys and girls sing the songs and act out the whole message of Christmas, your birth. And so we thank you for that. God, I pray that you would send our folks, these folks out, Lord, just to be a blessing. It might be wet outside, but God, I pray that you would bless them on the inside of their lives, that you would let your light shine, that they would experience your peace and your comfort, Lord, in all the challenges they have ahead of this week. I pray that blessing on them in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Everybody said? All right, have a great week, everyone.
It's on earth and mercy, my God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn. Time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead seed, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased is man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. eyes. Dude.